If you would, please take your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning there in verse 8. We read there, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Beloved, the salvation that we have, the salvation that we enjoy, is by the sovereign grace of God. You see, the true believer is saved right now. Our Lord declares in John chapter 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And in John 5, he tells us again, "He that heareth my word and believeth on the Father that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see, the believer is already, right now, made whole spiritually. And by God's grace, every believing sinner is found in Christ, in God's sight, righteous, sanctified, cleansed, forgiven, and made wholly accepted before him in love. The apostle writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Christ shall appear the second time, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that will happen either on the day of our death, beloved, or the day of his glorious return. You see, beloved, the salvation we have is finished. It's done. Indeed, it's ready. I love that, don't you? It's ready. Our brother Peter tells us in 1 Peter that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. How is that? How is that? Because, beloved, it's of the Father that we're in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, what I want to talk about tonight is the fact that a person that labors in preaching and teaching the Word of God, how that by that labor, well, that doesn't imply that by that work that they're doing, that they're going to be saved. And sadly, that's what many people believe. I mean, tonight I'm preaching and I'm teaching the gospel to you. And sadly, many people think that by my preaching and teaching, or by the mere fact that I'm a pastor, that that will be the cause of my salvation, or the reason that any preacher is saved. But as we just read from the Word of God, we know that's not so. For the apostle says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Did you hear that? The grace, the salvation, the saving faith that God gives us is not of ourselves. You see, all the glory of our salvation is only and ever for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, all the attribution, all the credit, all the praise, all the thanks is to him who saved us to the uttermost. You see, that glory is not for us. Indeed, all the credit, all the thanks is not for any one of us, but rather it's for the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You see, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Beloved, the religious activities of a man, or woman for that matter, will never be the cause of his or her salvation. And yet, sadly, there's many people in our day who not only think that, but they believe that. Now, if you would, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at our portion for tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and I'll read in verse 21 through to verse 23. Again, Matthew 7, verse 21 through to verse 23. Now, in this portion, we see our Lord is speaking here as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. And he says these words to the people who were listening to him. He says in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, or healed people, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now here we see our Lord speaking of many individuals who labored in the ministry, laboring to preach and teach the gospel to many. And notice, they say that they performed miracles and that they cast out devils. That is, they healed the sick and they did many wonderful works. They said they prophesied in his name. That is, they preached in his name. Nevertheless, our Lord tells us that he'll profess unto them on that day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, clearly, these individuals believed that by their religious activities that they were engaging in, that they would be saved, or that they would receive salvation because of that. I mean, clearly, that's what they were saying. That's what they believed. And sadly, there's many people in our day who believe that by their service to God, or by their offering or their devotion, that God will have mercy on them in that day. But what is it that our Lord would have us to know tonight? And he has us to know it by the letter of his apostle. Beloved, it's by grace that you're saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. My friend, salvation is not of yourself or by what you do, but rather it's by what Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary. And we receive that faith by his grace. You see, it's on the cross of Calvary where he declared, "It is finished." And in glory, he tells us again, "It is done." He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the Alpha and the Omega of all our salvation. And so it's what Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary. And we receive that by faith, and that by the grace of our Lord who's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, our Lord's very clear on this point. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone who says, "I'm a Christian," is going to go to heaven. "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven," that man or woman shall go to heaven. Now, most of us, I'm sure, have heard or seen some preachers who call themselves a pastor, a minister, or a reverend of God, and they tell their listeners after their message, "Repeat this prayer with me." And afterward, they say, "If you prayed this prayer, God's already saved you." And that if they do this or that, or raise their hand, or that they prayed a prayer, then God's already saved you. So is that person saved by repeating a prayer or repeating the words of a man? Not at all. The Word of God declares, "As many as received God's Son, God gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on the name of Jesus, which were born, which were saved, not by the blood of bulls or goats, nor of the will of the flesh," not by a fleshly act or by a prayer, "nor of the will of man or a pastor, but of God." Remember what our Lord said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And so our Lord tells us from our portion tonight, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so that begs the question, and an important question it is. What is God's will for us? If we would enter into the kingdom of heaven, what is God's will for us? I mean, what is the will of the Father? Is it for us to do penance on our knees? Are we to make a promise or a commitment to God? Is it his will that we give an offering and sow a seed of faith, as they say? Let's look at what our Lord has said in answer to that question. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we'll begin reading there in verse 38, and I'll read through to verse 40. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 38, and I'll read through to verse 40. So what is it to do the will of the Father? Our Lord Jesus declares in John 6, verse 38, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, our Lord declares, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So what is the will of the Father? It's simply this, beloved, that we as sinners, that we look and believe with all our heart on the Lord Jesus Christ for all our salvation. You see, it's of no use for a person to be religious or go to church or give an offering or sing or pray or even read the Bible if they're not looking to Christ with the eye of faith, with their soul and with their heart. I mean, if you're not looking to him, if you're not believing on him, everything you do has no value whatsoever before God. What does God say in the Old Testament to his people? Simply this, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Beloved, that's the will of the Father. That we look upon his Son with all our heart, that we look to him with faith, trusting in who he is, trusting in what he's done for us, and trusting in looking to him to keep us unto that blessed day. That's the Father's will, that we believe on him with all our heart. And the moment we believe, he saves us and we receive eternal life. You see, my friend, he came to give sinners eternal life. And he gives it to us the moment we first believe. We just sang that hymn. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. This is talking about to live is Christ. And what does the apostle say? To die is gain. And we hear this gain in the hymn. Listen to it. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. And so every one of us who's believing on Christ right now already has eternal life. Our Lord declares in John 6, 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath right now everlasting life. Beloved, we have begun to live eternal life in the here and now of this world. But one glorious day, we will live that eternal life in all its fullness in the very presence of Christ himself in heaven. And so our Lord tells us, Look unto me and be ye saved. Now, I would like it when I'm preaching, the people are listening and they're looking. That tells me that they're giving attendance to the preaching. But that's not salvation. That's not salvation. You see, salvation is not looking at religion. Salvation is not looking at the pastor. Salvation is not looking at the ordinances. My friend, salvation is looking to Christ. For Christ himself is all our salvation. Beloved, when we look upon him and believe him, in that very moment, he saves us. Can you rejoice in that tonight? I'm not begging you to believe in him. I do like very much believing on him, but let me make it just real plain. Believe him. What did that jailer ask? What must I do to be saved? My dear jailer friend, salvation is not found in doing. Salvation is found in believing. And what did those faithful ministers say to that jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, beloved, when we look upon him and believe him, in that very moment, he saves us. And he teaches us that we're justified, sanctified, cleansed, forgiven, and that because he's salvation itself. Justified, it means that by his blood, all our sins are truly and completely pardoned. So much so that when you're found in Christ, all God can see of you is no sin. It's been put away. And someone who has no sin in God's sight, do you know what they are? Yeah, justified is the word, but let me give you another word. Not guilty. Innocent. Like you as innocent and as blameless and as unblameable and as holy as God's son. But the gospel is much more, beloved. Not only do we have a full and complete pardon of all our sins by his blood, the life he lived on the earth as a real man, he established our life in God's sight so that now God looks on us as complete. Complete pardon, complete perfection. How can that be? That's by the precious blood and the perfect righteousness of God's Son. And he teaches us that we're justified, we're sanctified, we're cleansed, we're forgiven, and that we're saved to the uttermost. How can that be? Because, beloved, he's all our salvation. In fact, he's salvation itself. And that's what we read in the Bible, how that salvation is of the Lord. That's what we read in Jonah 2, verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord, period. And now, beloved, because of that revelation, because he's given us an understanding, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. I love that, don't you? I didn't go to a seminary to figure this out. I didn't buy some old theological books in some old bookstore. No, God in mercy and grace, he's taught me. He's taught me. Isn't that what he tells us in John 6, verse 45? He says there, as it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And all who hear the Father and learn of him come to me. They come to a person. Now, by nature, due to the sinful fall of the first man, Adam, our federal head Adam, because of his fall in sin in the garden, none of us have any spiritual understanding. Not by nature. What does God's word declare? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We've all gone out of the way. All of us together have become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, our natural understanding is darkened and ignorant. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by his word and by his spirit, he's given us an understanding, beloved. And he's enlightened our understanding so that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And because of that, beloved, we don't have to go around asking, where is the true God? Because of that, we don't have to go around trying to establish a righteousness of our own. That's what those who are in darkness do. Those who are in the darkness of their ignorance, that's what they do. They go around trying to establish a righteousness of their own, to try and fulfill a standard that they think is enough. Well, the prophet Isaiah, he faithfully records the words, Lord, the Lord's words to us tonight. Our Lord would have all his people to know, and we all know it. Because whatever the Lord would have happen, it's so. He teaches us there in mercy and grace that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's filthy rags. Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 3, he's speaking about his kinsmen after the flesh, natural men in darkness and in their ignorance. He says there, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own standard, their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you know what God requires of you? If you want to come to God on the basis of your own life, on the basis that you've done more good than more bad, you'll perish. God's demand is perfection. That's why he teaches us in mercy and grace that we're evil. Nevertheless, his Son is holy, and he sent his Son into the world to save evil men and women like us here tonight by his holy and perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, is it not? The great exchange, the glorious truth in the gospel of imputation, how that our Heavenly Father made his dear, darling, only begotten Son, he who knew no sin, said no sin, thought no sin, never committed sin, not one time. Nevertheless, it pleased the Father to make him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so those who are ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness because they're in darkness. It's only when God brings the light of the gospel that he shows you in love and mercy and grace. It's his kindness to you to show you in the light of his glorious and perfect Son that you need a Savior. And so, beloved, because his Holy Spirit tells us who the true God is, how that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the true God manifest in the flesh, and because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we are found complete in him. Don't you love that verse in Colossians 2:10? Beloved, we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. We lack nothing. We have complete pardon by his blood and a perfect righteousness, unsoiled by what we did or didn't do, because it is not our righteousness. It is the faithful, upright righteousness of Christ. And we call his name Wonderful, don't we? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And our Lord declares in John 6:45, let's hear it again. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And so speaking of the last day, our Lord says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. On the last day, many, not a few, but many will say these words. My friend, a person can be a preacher, preach the gospel, teach the gospel, and at the same time not be saved. You see, one is not saved by the service they render to God. I mean, just think of it, beloved. When our Lord Jesus commissioned his 12 apostles to go out, to cast out demons, to perform miracles and preach, among those 12 was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot preached, did he not? He taught the people. He performed miracles. And where did Judas Iscariot end up? He was lost. And Scripture tells us how that Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Gill observes, quote, that he might go to his own place speaks of Judas going to hell as the just punishment of his sin, of his unbelief, end quote. You see, though Judas renders service in the ministry, salvation is not by what we do or what we don't do. Rather, salvation is in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we receive it solely through faith on the basis of his grace, his love, and his mercy to us, and no other way. No other way. Many preachers will say in that day, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And so, beloved, we must take heed. That's the words of our Lord, is it not? Take heed. Take heed that no man deceive us. For Satan has many of his ambassadors throughout the world today. They're out there, and not just on television, but on every corner, it seems. Many men who preach and claim to perform miracles. I mean, you see them touching someone, and because the person falls backward, they claim that they've been, you know, that they've received the Holy Spirit, or that they've received a healing. And so, beloved, we must remember that Satan is operating throughout the world today, and he has many ambassadors, many ministers, and make no mistake about it, the power they have to perform miracles and such things is satanic. But don't be deceived. You see, the purpose of Satan's miracles is to deceive those who have no love of the truth. The Scripture declares in 2 Thessalonians, you'll turn there with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, and this is speaking of all those in league with Satan, that their coming, verse 9, is after the working of Satan. God didn't send them, Satan did. Now, God is sovereign, and what I'm saying is that these men are not sent as ambassadors of Christ. They're sent as those in league with Satan. You know, Satan is the one who sent them. And he sent them with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, and notice, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How very sad it is, how very sad to live in this world without God and without Christ and without hope, to live in spiritual darkness. It's so very sad. I mean, to think that you're good in God's sight and that God will accept your filthy rags. Now, any person can deceive another person. And this is what happens with many people in our day. How sad to be deceived and further to deceive others and teach that salvation is by what you do. What a lie. And these ministers of Satan, they will prophesy, they will perform miracles. And with what power do they perform such miracles? If they do not preach the truth, if they do not preach sound doctrine, with what power are they performing these miracles? My friend, they do so by the power of Satan. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. They are performing these miracles by the power of Satan to deceive souls. Truly, it's the gravest crime that exists to deceive a man or woman with the lie that salvation is by what you do or don't do, and then have them go on to eternal damnation. Our Lord declares, let them alone. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Beloved, I can think of no greater crime for one person to inflict upon another. I mean, it's the crime of crimes, is it not? And this is what's being spoken of here in our text, of these many that our Lord is speaking of. On this day, on that day, our Lord says of them that these many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then notice our Lord's response. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, ye that work iniquity. You see, all that they did was not after Christ. And all they did was work iniquity, just filthy rags in God's sight. And this tells us that these people, in the first place, deceived themselves, and then deceived the people who followed them. Workers of iniquity. They did not preach the eternal gospel of God. They preached another message after man to deceive people, and not the gospel after Christ. What was it the Apostle Paul said? Galatians 1. He says there, do I now persuade men or God? Verse 10. Or do I seek to please men? Notice, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And our Lord tells this many on that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The deeds of these people, of these many spoken of in our portion, were evil. And to be sure, they did not do the will of God, because they did not look upon or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they did believe, but what they believed was a god of their own making. You see, they believed in their own little g god. They believed in their religion. They believed in their religious activity, but they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with their hearts. And so we see they deceived themselves and also deceived others. The Apostle Paul refers to them as dogs, evil workers. Look with me in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes there, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, because of the concision. Now, he's making reference to those who taught and preached, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. What does the Lord have us to read in verse 3? It's simply this: we're the true Israel, beloved. We're the true circumcision, not made with hands, but with the Holy Spirit on our heart. He's opened our heart. Beloved, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Beloved, it's safe for you, for me to repeat these same things to you. You know, I never want to say something wrong or something that's not clear. And so that's why for me to write or preach or even read the same things to you, to me, it's not grievous. And for you who listen to me, it's safe. Again, why is our Lord saying this? Why does he say to these many, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity"? Why? Because, beloved, they acted wickedly. They committed evil instead of doing good. They did evil to the people, to the individuals who trusted in them. And our Lord will tell them on that day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, beloved, evil men, false prophets, false preachers, what they do is lead people away from the truth. And rather than point them to Christ, they turn them away from the truth to bring them to their deception, to their lie, saying, "Except you do this or that, you cannot be saved." And so, beloved, that's why we must be very cautious, very cautious. Our Lord tells us in Matthew 24, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Further in Matthew 24, he says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." But do you know who they will not be able to deceive? God's many elect. Our Lord tells us, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." But here's the good news, it's not possible. I love the way the Lord describes his sheep, don't you? In John's Gospel, chapter 10, if I'm not mistaken, he says, "My sheep don't have ears to listen to liars and thieves, those false preachers and prophets that rob God's Son of his glory." He's worthy of all glory, beloved, all glory and all honor. And then he went on to say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." How come? Because he's the author and finisher of our faith, beloved. He is the Alpha and the Omega of all our salvation, and we're kept by his power. That's what Peter writes in his first epistle to God's people. We're kept by the power of God through faith. That's through our faithful, never-failing Savior, his faithfulness to the Father to keep the commandment the Father gave him in coming to this world. That's why I can tell you, on the authority of God's Word, if you're a sinner here tonight, Christ Jesus isn't trying to save you. He came into this world to save you, and he shall. Paul writes to young Timothy, "A faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And the Apostle Paul added, "Of whom I'm chief." The angel from the very throne of God's grace comes to Joseph in the nighttime, and he has a dream, a vision. And the angel says to Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. She's not been unfaithful to you, Joseph. There's nothing untoward that's happened. You don't need to go visit her parents and cancel the wedding. Don't be afraid to take her for your wife. For what's conceived in her womb is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Beloved, God's elect have the seal, the guarantee of his promise in them, which is the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we read in Ephesians 1, verse 13, Beloved, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, what happened? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so now the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. And he's the seal of our salvation, the seal of our assurance. Indeed, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so the Lord's telling us here that none of his sheep will be taken from his hands. The Lord knows how to take care of his own, and he will take care of them. No sheep, not even the weakest of us, will ever be lost, for all his sheep will be with the Lord forever. And so, beloved, know this. Our salvation does not rest in our hands. Our salvation does not depend upon our thoughts. Rather, our salvation only and ever depends on the author and finisher of our faith, the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. For salvation is of the Lord, from its beginning in election to its expected end in glory. And our Lord tells us in Jeremiah, I think I have the reference correct. Let me double check. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Our Lord tells us, Beloved, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen.